Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike at Real Mike Larson on Twitter, and I will post a link to his Twitter account. It's very entertaining following and seeing what Mike is writing, staying up to date on Twitter. Now, Mike, let's talk about some of the extremes that we are seeing, especially in the bond market just now. We've talked about some of these inversions on different time frame yield curves, but when you look kind of across the board at the yield curve in a number of different time frames, we are seeing something that I think has only happened once before, and that is a complete flattening of this yield curve. Let's start off there. What is this extreme here regarding just how flat the yield curve is?
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, what's going on in the bond market really merits attention. I mean, there's a lot of people who just follow what's going on in stocks, and I think they're missing out on the real story, especially in this cycle. I mean, it's kind of unprecedented, not just what's happening in the United States, but also happening in many foreign countries as well. Overseas, you're talking about deeply negative interest rates to levels we've never seen before. And here in the U.S., I mean, just to run down a few of the highlights, or I guess you'd call them lowlights, considering we're talking about low rates, 10-year Treasury popped back under 1.5% this week. The 5-year Treasury note yield is trading about 60 some odd basis points under the low end of the federal funds target rate, which is a fancy way of saying the bond market saying the Fed is like, you know, a full half point cut, maybe even almost three quarters of a percentage point cut behind the market. In other words, the bond market is saying the Fed's keeping its interest rate target too high because of what's going to happen with deflationary pressures, economic slowdown, recession in 2020, and so on. So the bond market's front running the Fed. They're saying they know the Fed's going to be forced to cut. So rates are falling sharply. The yield curve in the U.S., there's a lot of different ways you can measure it. But now, no matter how you measure it, you're pretty much looking at the flattest yield curve since just before the start of the 2007 downturn and recession. What's even more noteworthy, I think, in terms is how far and overall, if you measure like basically from the peak, the widest the curve ever was in this economic expansion to where it is now, we've seen the curve flatten by about 430 basis points. That's for the 3-month Treasury bill, 10-year Treasury note yield curve. So essentially, again, about 430 basis points. If you go back and look at the last few bear markets and recessions, that's almost the worst we've ever seen. It's more than we saw in the late 80s, which, you know, was followed by the 1990s recession. It's more than we saw in the mid-2000s before the housing bust recession began. And it's almost as much as we saw right before the dot-com bust and that recession began. So basically, the interest rate market is telling you policy has gotten we've seen as much policy tightening or as much of a warning coming from the bond market as we've seen pretty much ever in recent history, the last few decades, with the exception of right before the dot-com bust. So a lot of people are downplying this. They're saying, oh, it's because of banks, you know, it's because of manipulation, and, you know, it doesn't matter because the inversion is being led by long-term interest rates falling more than, you know, versus short-term interest rates rising. I've heard so many excuses on TV, but let's be honest, this signal is almost infallible. And it has been since the basically going all the way back to the 1950s. So it pays investors, I mean, it behooves you as an investor to pay a lot of attention to this, because it really is some remarkable, extraordinary things happening there in the bond market. And, you know, it's obviously being confirmed by other asset markets as well. And we've talked in the past about what's happening in gold and silver and mining companies. Mining shares are up, you know, something like 60% now in the last 12 months, while the S&P 500 has gone up about 2%. You know, you tell me where you should have put your money and where we've been telling people to put their money and how it's been working out for them. That's the gold and silver and miners, the performance they're showing tells you that part of the market is sensing how nuts the bond market action is and how worrisome the signal it sends about the global economy is.
Yeah, that's something you and I have been talking a lot about. And you know what? We can look at a wide range of markets, but seeing these safe assets, these safe havens continue to rise, that's a major takeaway. But I do just want to revisit that comment that you made, where there are a lot of people naysaying or trying to ignore these yield curve inversions because of a couple main factors. One, as you mentioned, this is seeming to be led by the long end just crashing in terms of yields. And two, the central central bank intervention, being such large players in the bond markets and having a heavy hand, especially when it comes to some of the short-term yields that we are seeing because of the tinkering that they're doing. What are your answers or rebuttals to these people dismissing their arguments that it just doesn't matter this time?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, as we're talking, and this week I live and work in South Florida. I was born and raised down here, so obviously we have hurricanes we deal with from time to time. Every year there's a hurricane season, and you know, there happens to be a Dorian out there kind of turning its way potentially towards Florida. There's a lot of things that are pointing in that direction. Computer models, you know, forecasters with a lot more meteorology expertise than me and so on, saying, look, you have this storm out there. It's potentially dangerous. A lot of the indications are that it's going to head in your direction. So these are warnings, right? These are cautionary things. And it's saying, you know, people are saying, be prepared, stock up on your water, get your batteries, get your ice, whatever. Now, would it make sense whatsoever for you to just sit on the beach and just stare out at the ocean and wait for this thing to come without doing anything? Of course not. It's ridiculous. It's dangerous to your you know, your well-being. And I think I would say that's a great metaphor for what's happening in terms of some of these people making excuses for what the yield curve is saying and what other parts of the stock market and currency markets and so on are saying as well. They're ignoring these signs. I mean, you're literally being told, hey, listen, there's all these, you know, yellow flags out there telling you to be more cautious, be more defensive, you know, sell the kinds of things that were winners in the great bull market and move into some of the things that are more defensive and are now winning and will continue to win. And if you ignore those warnings, well, you know, that's on you as an investor. You shouldn't be ignoring it. You should be paying attention. You know, again, it's just like you prepare for hurricanes when you live down here. Why wouldn't you prepare for market storms as an investor when there's plenty of signs out there that kind of action is coming your way?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not just one sign. There are plenty of signs that are showing that the U.S. and the U.S. markets should be in for a pretty tough time. But then there's another argument, too, saying that other established economies and markets around the world are struggling. They're struggling a lot more than the U.S. So the debate is, can the U.S. be looked at, continuously looked at, as kind of that shining light where investors can put their money and at least have it somewhat more stable over what's been going on in the other markets? Or simply, is that market just buying time because it is going to follow what happened to other markets? And that means a drop kind of across the board in the U.S.
You know, I kind of think of it as akin to what we saw in past topping processes. You know, when we go back and look at what happened in 2000, for example, or even sort of that 2006-2007 time frame, we all remember it as being this horrible bear market, like it came out of nowhere. But in reality, there was a process. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a span of days, weeks, months. It lasted for more than a year. I mean, I've cited the example before, but if you go back to the year 2000, it was horrible if you owned tech stocks. The NASDAQ was crashing. You lost 43%, I think it was, if you owned even the diversified tech ETFs. But if you owned utilities or you owned REITs, you made about 22% that year. That's how much those sectors were up. So again, you know, even at the peak of where the old bull market was dying out and a new bear market was starting, there was a year long transition period where you could still make a lot of money. You just had to get out of the aggressive stuff and move into the defensive stuff. Eventually, the downward pressure, the threat of recession, the tech bust and so on took over and kind of everything started getting dragged down. I do tend to fear that we're getting closer and closer to that point, and I'm seeing a lot of indications of that. I've been harping on the underperformance of financials for a year and a half now, and the underperformance of small caps and things like materials and energy and so on. Now the financials, the bank ETF here in the U.S., the main bank ETF is breaking down sharply. You're seeing small caps start to break down. So you're seeing indications that transitionary period may be ending and the next phase in this process may be beginning soon. So I've been looking to maybe take some things off the table, get a little more defensive. In the Safe Money Report, I recently sold one company that I've owned for a while. It was a nice dividend paying insurance company, not a bank, an insurance company, very stable, been around for decades. Made a small profit on it, very small one. But I just realized, you know, it was probably not going to be the kind of thing you want to own the more I thought about it. So I sold it, even though I hadn't done anything wrong. At the same time, I increased my exposure to the inverse ETF that targets the financial sector overall. That's in addition to pretty large holdings and things like gold and a treasury ETF that's leveraged, meaning it rises 2 times in value for every, you know, 1x move in the underlying bond market in terms of price. Those are the kinds of things that I'm increasing. I'm increasing the defensives, the hedges, and so on. and I'm pulling back and paring any holding, the remaining holdings and stocks that I have, because I think we might be entering something that's even going to get more difficult than we've already seen.
So are you worried at all, though, that some of these safe assets, even say like gold and silver, if we do go through a pretty serious market correction in the U.S., that they are going to get dragged down with the overall correction just as people look for really to sell anything?
No, not at all. I think, you know, I've had sort of a four-pronged plan since early 2018, which has been basically be long precious metals and derivatives, you know, miners and so on, be long treasuries, be long volatility, and be long defensive equities, high dividend defensive equities, things like I just mentioned in utilities and so on. If I'm going to sell anything out of those four things, it's going to be number four. It's going to be the equity position. They, I think, are getting increasingly vulnerable. It may be time to get out of even those before too long. However, I think the money coming out of stocks is going to go somewhere, and it's already going. I mean, the money coming out of offensive stock is going into treasuries, it's going into gold, it's going into cash. I see no reason whatsoever that if we have an equity market rollover, meltdown, you know, decline, whatever you want to call it, I see no reason whatsoever for those other three asset classes to underperform. I think that there's a great places to protect yourself, you know, your wealth and so on. So I would stick with them. I think that the gold and silvers are the precious metals. Bull market, in my opinion, is just getting started. Yes, we're overbought in the short term. Yes, we've come a long way in a short period of time. But if you look at the long-term trend, you've had almost 7 years of consolidation, you know, a long period where gold and silver did nothing while the rest of the market took off. Everybody was in love with paper assets. They hated physical assets. That's changing. And I think that so much money is going to come into this part of the market after being ignored for so long that it's going to be fueled. Buyback or pullbacks are going to get bought. You know, rallies are going to get chased. So I think this is, if anything, it's probably only like the third inning of this move. I absolutely would not get out of those sectors. You know, maybe take some profits if you're overloaded and buy on a pullback. But you got to have a bull market mentality when it comes to precious metals here.
Okay. Hey, I totally agree with you, especially on the comment for the early inning stage of this bull market. Yes, the pullback is due, but you know what? A pullback's been due for a little while, and it just goes to show the new light that is being shone upon the precious metals as dips are being bought. And even throughout days when the daily trading is occurring, gold is getting a buy, and that is something that we hadn't seen in a number of years. So hopefully the metals are impervious to a more severe market pullback, but right now stick with that strategy because it has been working very well and there is reason to believe that it could continue to work for quite a while. Mike, great
Absolutely.
Chatting with you. Great having you on the show. I always appreciate what you're writing for your subscribers and on Twitter. Everyone, go click that link below. Go follow Mike on Twitter and seriously consider subscribing for his newsletter. Thanks for your time, Mike.
Thank you.